Well, this is the meeting of the Minnesota Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission. It is September 9th, the year of 2010, and we have three members here present physically, and maybe I should just check and see who we've got on the conference call with us today. I've understood Larry Deleen and Chris Basilici are there.
Larry Deleen's here.
Okay.
Chris is here.
Very good. Any others on the telephone conference call? Good, Teresa. How are you? Good.
Bonnie Rader, Clay County.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Hi, Mike.
Any others on the conference call? We were hoping that perhaps Ranger Walker from up in Itasca County might be there with us. Someone else just called in. Anyone else then on the conference call? All right. Who's being quiet out there?
Maybe somebody fell off.
Maybe we lost somebody, huh?
Lynette Shrupp from McCall County.
Welcome, Lynette.
Pam said she can join if needed.
I
just have to call her. There's things
that
Larry and Chris.
Okay. Well, we have only three members here, so we don't have a quorum to do official business. But I think we will proceed with the meeting anyway, because I think the principal item that we want to spend some time talking about is an update on the CRB and some of the testing and just kind of where that's at. And I think we've got Jason here from the Department of Revenue that can give us some updates, and we can have perhaps some updates here from some of the counties. And Bonnie, if you're there, I may ask you to share a little bit about what you had sent as an email to Jason with the whole group here a little later in the meeting, so I'll let you rehearse here before we call on you. But I'll give you a heads up.
Thanks, Mike.
And then we can deal with let's deal with the items on the agenda, and we won't be able to probably formally approve or take actions, but at least we can see if there's any questions about minutes and that type of thing. Anybody on the commission have questions or thoughts on that? We proceed that way?
I reviewed the minutes. They look good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And checked your link, Diane. Perfect.
Kay, you have any other questions on the minutes?
No.
Well, we'll allow the minutes to stand. We'll take them up at the next meeting for formal approval. But we'll allow them to stand then as is for now. If everybody's comfortable with that. All right. Then let's just go to the primary topic, our ECRB update and e-recording use of the ECRB that's been taking place. When we last left off on this story, back in July of 2010, we were going to have Jason and the Department of Revenue do a little tour around the state and give some demos, and I know Jason has been very busy doing that around the state, and I know there are a number of pilots that have been initiated since we last left with some testing going on in some of the outstate counties of the what we might call alternative electronic recording CRV process that would be used for counties to do electronic recording. And maybe, Jason, you can give us at least an initial update on how some of that has gone, the reaction that you've got. And then I thought maybe we'd ask any of the vendors or any of the counties or other submitters if they had comments about any of that testing that they had been involved in to comment on as well. So with that, Jason, I'll just turn it over to you.
Very good. I would be asking the same question as a report from the counties and the submitters as
right.
well. So I will do that as part of my discussion here. Testing with it's basically e-recording use with ECRV. That's the alternative. And that's using the form to submit it, to get a PDF that can be then saved and then included within the e-recording packet to the county. And the main difference between that and the full use is that there's a printed section of the county data that's blank on the bottom of that form so that the county can process it via paper downstream after they've accepted it. So there's a synopsis again of what we're talking about. We have initiated testing in Clay, Lyon, and Martin County, and I know that Clay County has reported that they have successfully concluded some tests, and we'll ask each of the county here in a moment how things are going. But as yet, we have seen no issues or concerns that would prevent us from going to production, and revenue stands ready to go to production as soon as we have a positive report from the county saying that they accept the process is usable by other counties. So that's the good news. And in fact, you know, we could go to production as early, you know, right now, Tuesday. I've confirmed with Jim Biggs back at Revenue on the technology side. And essentially, we'd like to try to go to production on Tuesday if there's a positive enough report. Otherwise, we'll wait until the testing is concluded sufficiently. We've received registrations requesting permission to use
the by Tuesday. Give us which Tuesday you're talking about.
14th.
Of September.
Yes.
Of 2010.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to.
Thank you for that.
I just wanted to clarify that so there wasn't any ambiguity here.
Well, you know, it's not an official meeting. So. One of those two.
And if we got a Bible, we could swear the witness in here. I think we.
Which epoch are you actually referring to? So we've received, as a reminder, we're asking counties and submitters, at least during this early part, during the fall here, to register that they are going to use ECRV in this way. We need counties to do that so that they show up in the pull-down menu and so that the application can suitably direct the correct receipt and the correct PDF version as a result of submitting for that county of sale. And we want to know about the submitter so that when and or if problems occur, we can know who to contact and warn them about issues, or so that when we're called by submitters, we know, oh, yeah, so-and-so is calling, and they are, you know, we're sort of aware from them. We're a little worried about getting inundated, you know, if there's some issues coming up. And of course, when the calls come in from the submitters, likely it's a pretty, you know, quick turnaround situation where they're trying to close or they're trying to do something of that nature. And so we want to be responsive. And so we've gotten pre-registrations for when we go to production from Anoka County and Pope County and First American Title. And we've told all of them that they can go ahead and use the sandbox to familiarize themselves. Pope County and Anoka County won't show up in the pull-down, but that doesn't mean you can't go ahead and submit to another county. If it's in the sandbox, it doesn't matter. It doesn't create new work for that county. They just can choose to ignore it. So you can get the PDF. You can then save the PDF and look at the test PDF and so forth. So when we then turn on production, however, any county that is registered, we will put them in the pull-down, and they can begin using it as a production system. We're not requiring testing. Again, this is a repeat from before, but that situation has not changed. So as soon as we get sufficient testing in this first go-around, then we're saying let's go ahead and start using it. Any of the counties in the that are capable of doing e-recording can register and start using the process in that way. I met in Lyon County. Thank you, Janine, for inviting us down there. And she managed to coordinate the participation from 10 counties, including Lyon. So it was quite an impressive thing. And I might be because of the banana cake that was served there. So of those counties, there was, I have the list here. She wrote it down for me. Cottonwood, Nobles, Murray, Pipestone, Jackson, Kandi Ohi, Chippewa, Lyon, Big Stone, and Rock County. So it was a very impressive group of counties, and she clearly has some some strong arm twisting or just respect amongst your peers down there. So
you haven't heard the stories about Ma Barker down
right.
there?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say they were very polite. They didn't come there to cause ruckus. So of that, the counties that can do e-recording are Jackson, Candiota, Hyatt, Chippewa, Lyon, and Big Stone. And of those, at least Big Stone and Chippewa said that they would be prepared to start using ECRV as in the e-recording fashion as soon as it goes to production. A few of the other counties were also interested in beginning maybe testing the full ECRV. So I talked about both the e-recording and the full ECRV. And, when appropriate, if someone hasn't stepped forward, then these are all counties, and this is how I operate, that I would go ahead and at the right time call them back and say, look, I'm looking for someone to get going here, so maybe you could be it. So that's where we are on the e-recording piece. And maybe at this time, and I will talk about the full ECRV in a second, but maybe at this time we can get an up-to-date report from Clay, Lyon, and Martin, and any submitter that's been participating.
I think that's an excellent suggestion, and I'm going to maybe turn to my colleague Kay on the commission here. If you want to give an update on what's been happening down in Martin County and any testing that's taken place so far, Kay?
We have tested it. It came through fine. I had our assessor's office review the ECRV and go through it line by line and play with it for a while. I had my staff run through it, too, because they're kind of novice at it. So they did run through it. We looked at it. Their comments were a little contrary to what Clay County's comments were. And so I do think we need to address Clay County's comments and consider them. But as far as ours went, they felt that it was different. So, of course, it took a little bit more to go through it and check through it. They questioned some of the questions, and I think they said there was a lack of two or something like that that weren't on there. I think school district, and maybe they missed it. I don't know if that's on there anymore. They felt that it may not take the submitter any longer to do the ECRV. That's really kind of all their comments. They did appreciate the fact that it had that they would not have the rejection rate that they would do now. I mean, they don't have to do the callbacks because every field has to be filled in to do it. We did have Simplifile send a document through, and it came through. It comes through as the second document. We had a couple questions on that. We had a couple questions with our new doc stamp that we're using now being a little long, things like that, just internal things that we need to work through. But the test went through very well as far as I wasn't even there. So they handled it. So I think I had a couple phone calls, but it went well. So we would be ready to move forward with it Tuesday since we have such huge volumes in Martin County of deeds and mortgages that we're just waiting. So, but I would like to, we really do need to address Clay County's because Clay County, I think, is getting bombarded the most because of what North Dakota has done. And I think on the other side, on the eastern side, what's happened in Wisconsin, I think the counties on the Wisconsin side are also going to have, they have also a submitted document that goes with it. And theirs has been a little smoother at it, and it's happened in a shorter time frame. So I think those are the things. I shouldn't speak for Bonnie, but she is getting bombarded with. They're really gung-ho in North Dakota. South Dakota is doing nothing right at the moment, but they will, I would assume, jump aboard about as quick as what North Dakota did once they get their systems up or get systems that do it. Iowa, they have no issues at all because they have they're all, 80 or 96 of their 99 counties are e-recording already and have no issues with it at all. So our borders might, put some things in there too. But I do think Martin County is all right with it. We want to get moving with it. I think we can address the challenges that come up with the submitter pretty easily, pretty quickly. I think we have enough support from our submitters and that we could do that. But I do think we need to address Clay County's issues, no concerns.
Kay, did you try to walk through the process on the paper version of the PDF for multiple property types?
The assessors did, yes.
Yes, okay.
And they initial look at it, it's different feel. Took them a while. They ran through it several times. They got more acquainted with it, and that was their comment back, too, that once you get familiar with it, once you get familiar with working with it, that'll come through. They also have to remember, too, you're going to be with that. They're also going to have to be doing the EWELL certificate, too. So they're going to be doing two documents in that format or that type of format with a little bit of a twist with the EWELL certificate, because that does have a number, and it'll have a number on the document versus the submission.
I have a question if I could for the submitters on those that have done it. When Simplifile was submitting the document, I assume you're using your helper document type approach as a second document. What issues would there be, or what would you encounter if, rather than submitting it as a second document, you just submitted it as additional pages to the deed?
Well, primarily the workflow goes in, and Jeff, you can comment on this too, where if a document needs to be recorded, it's on a certain process so it can receive a stamp. And as much as the CRV, or as it's been designed, helper documents do not receive a stamp, they're then electronically bundled with the document that does, but they do not go through the same workflow. So
I understand that, but what if a county were to come to you and say, I'd like you to do it as an attachment to the deed? No separate number, it's just page 2, 3, 4, whatever it is.
It could be designed where the last X amount of pages do not receive a stamp and then are not uploaded to be saved, because you don't want, I think part of the whole study of the CRV is that it does not become public record with the documents that are recorded. So it would be just a workflow analysis. The last few pages, if it has a CRV, are not uploaded and do not receive stamps. So it's possible. It's not a common workflow process.
We'd have to delete those pages, though, then,
right,
too. So then that's an extra work process that we don't want to probably
Well,
address.
The question and the reason that I ask is, I've had questions asked, in the interim until you get the permanent process in place at the state, could it be just an attachment to the deed and it get imaged and be part of the recording process as an attachment? And that way an assessor does get access electronically to, it makes it easier within a county's workflow process to have the deed and the CRV coupled together for their work.
Well, they're coupled together, and an assessor or an auditor or anyone else that's granted authority in the county could see how they're bundled. It's, in essence, a little bit like when you have an attachment in an email that you can see it, you go and click on it, and then it pulls it out. But that document that's attached is always associated with that email. So it's the same kind of thing with the helper document mentality, where they're bundled together, and you can see that they're attached, but there are different screens for all of the same reasons that have been discussed.
Would having it part of the same document be an additional cost that Simplifile or Bill, you'd have to deal with? Are you even tracking what I'm talking about?
I would assume you'd have to pull them apart because you don't want a part of the recorded document.
What if you did?
What if you did want it?
What if a county wanted to do it that way?
Well, if you wanted it to be a part of the recorded document, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, then there would be no change.
Yeah, and no cost. I mean, either workflow would be no cost.
Mike, this is Bonnie.
Yes, Bonnie.
I have a couple comments. One comment is, if you did not want those extra pages on the deed to actually be a part of the deed, that would be a problem for us, because our software is set up where it automatically places page codes on all those pages.
Right.
So then our page codes wouldn't be right. But, you know, again, like Dalen said, that's a workflow, so maybe that could be changed. The other thing that I wanted to point out is we do have access to those CRVs in a digital format, and we can search and find them, even though they are not attached to the deed. And we could set up our assessor's office to have access to them if we chose to, and we haven't done that at this point because it's not necessary, but we could very easily do that. I could do it myself without even help from Fiddler or from anybody, just by going into admin and give them some rights.
Okay. Okay. Anything else on that one? Because I thought I'd maybe just turn it over to Janine to talk about Lion and the guests that Janine invited to Lyon County for the testing and what's gone on down there, and then I'll turn to Bonnie next.
Well, I had some misinformation from Fiddler that they told me I was ready to go, and so we went to test, and we really weren't ready to go. We needed some additional work done, and so I had to wait until Martin County was done before they could work on Lyon County. So they were supposed to finish that up this week, and hopefully we can test the first of next week. I will have to say from the meeting we had, I've had very good responses, some good questions coming back about how soon will this happen. No, not any technical questions, but you know, it did spark some good thinking in Southwest Minnesota, and we had assessors and auditor treasurers there, along with recorders. We had a room of about 30 people there. You have to remember, this is the first time that some of those auditor treasurers, assessors have really even seen or heard anything about an electronic CRV. They had to go back and kind of think about how this was going to work and if it was going to work. And most of the responses were, well, this is going to be good. This is going to be nice. And how soon are we going to have the full one? You know, and my comment back to them is, you may have the full one ready by the time we get the testing done on the part one, on the solution. But you know, I was excited that as many were interested in it as really had good questions for Jason when we were there. That I thought that most of the group really understood his presentation, understood what it was going to do for us. Some of them have not been interested in e-recording before because, I don't know why, but now kind of seems like they are more interested in seeing how this is going to work. So, in talking to my assessor and auditor, they had their staff there because it was local, and a couple of the staff goes, well, we don't want to do that. And the auditor said, and why not? We're doing it tomorrow. I mean, it's just a matter of, and the responses I got, it was just a matter of getting used to using it. Because there are a few extra questions, but they're not questions that can't be used. I realize that we may have some trouble with submitters in the future that we'll have to work through. The biggest question was the same as one of Bonnie's, is what if I don't have this information? You know, why are they required? And we talked about the rejection rate, you know, that is going to eliminate having to call, follow up, some of those things that the information they still used to have to get. They just got it after the fact. And so this should eliminate that from the county side. If it isn't there, it doesn't go through. So therefore, the e-recording package doesn't go through. And I don't, you know, from the submitters, they're going to have to learn a new way of doing business, and that is to have it complete when it comes in. And it will be. I mean, they'll just get used to doing it. So very positive comments out of Southwest Minnesota. So, and I know Jason, that now I see he's going to Mankato. So, I mean, he's making his way around, and I think he'll get good response everywhere.
Jason will be at the prep group in presenting on September 21st. And so that group generally has a relatively good turnout of more of the submitter side than it does of recorders. There's usually more submitters, people or banks and attorneys, than there are recorders at that meeting. So I think that's a good opportunity to spread the word at that meeting, too. And then Martin County and Blue Earth County and...
And any other county that sort of wants to tag with us from the prep meetings, as far as I'm concerned, if they want to come.
Sure.
I know that I...
Do you want me to send out an invitation to those areas?
Sure. I mean, let's talk about that offline.
Right.
But I did mention it to the person from Waseca, because I know that Waseca had already indicated interest to me before. So I said, you know, I'm going to be there, and I don't know which counties are at the prep meeting. But when I found out that she was emailing me, I said she might want to take along.
In the current. Is she recording? Is Waseca e-recording?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't think they're e-recording yet, are they?
No, they're not.
But this is, you know, it's easier being the broad as well as e-recording.
Right.
So
right.
It's not just e-recording.
And the other thing is, Jason made that very clear, is that, you know, this isn't really a presentation about e-recording, presentation about e-CRVs. And that was nice, you know, to learn to separate it. We have a tendency to use the same terminology, and recorders think of it as just an addition to the process. And the Department of Revenue, they're thinking of the ECRV as a, I know, not a standalone product, but it's a standalone product to them.
Well, and there is a little bit of confusion, you know, and in the room about, well, why are we charging to do e-recording? And so they were getting confused with the, you know, the one-time contribution for helping defray the initial development cost for ECRV, and they were thinking that that was a fee that the Department of Revenue was imposing in order to do the e-recording piece. So there was, you know, there is confusion here between that, and, you know, that's just, we're just going to have to deal with that by, you know, being as, try to be as clear as we can when we talk to people, so...
And we discussed the fact that that was a decision made
some years ago,
and a decision made by the task force for contributions, and some of them thought they were going to have to continually pay that maintenance fee or that fee, but we did have good discussion on that. We had good discussion on the fact that in the long run, and we should always have vision enough to see the long run, that the electronic CRV was going to be a wonderful tool for submitters as well. I also know that from this point on, it's time, or will be time, for the vendors to start selling their products, because we as county government and state government cannot or will not be in the position to always be out there selling the e-recording process. You know, we're going to be in the position to do it. State's going to be in the position to accept those, but now it will be time for the vendors to start talking to their banks and to their title companies and First American to push this on the submitter side. Because although, like at the prep meeting, you do have some submitters attend, you know, we don't know who wants to use it, you know. And I, as a county, I don't think it's my position to go out there and go door to door selling the process that, or to bring in certain vendors. I think it's the vendors' turn to start selling their use.
Although I I would like to report to the committee that I'm sure they'll be happy to know that Janine did a very excellent job of at least hijacking portions of the meeting to espouse e-recording, not just ECRB. So.
I think that
I'd have been disappointed to have heard anything but.
I think that e-recording is a process change now. I mean, obviously it doesn't necessarily... it's a process change. It's a different workflow change of from paper to doing something different. It is how we will record in the future, and hopefully sooner than later. And so I think kind of in connection with that, the eWell certificate, which has not had, I don't think, a lot of use, and then you're talking about the ECRV, basically are standalone. They can do those processes separate. They don't have to have the e-record with it. They can do those alone. But that, and to you, Janine, that's something the state's going to have to go out and kind of promote as possibly this may be the format we want this coming in at. Once there's a little pressure put in there and saying this is the format that we want these documents versus paper to come in, we would highly recommend they come in that way. That will help us on the e-record side too, because instead of having it hinder the e-record side, you know, they're already doing that. They have that learning curve's done. They've learned how to do that process online. And I think they're very hesitant about doing that right now. Well, we've only done the eWell certificate, and the percentages, I think, are relatively low of what they've gotten in. And I'm sure that with the work effort they've put into it, they would have liked that to be better. So I'd hope that somehow maybe we could put a little pressure on.
Well, I think the answer to that is that is what full ECRV will do. Because
eliminate the paper.
It will allow us to just declare that the preferred manner in which to submit CRVs is the ECRV process. And if you happen to want to e-record, you can certainly do the e-record also. And I think it essentially does everything that you're saying. The question is how strongly will we be able to try to push people towards the ECRV. At this point, we're not quite at that spot, but by this time, you know, next year for sure, and maybe even by spring, we should be in a position to be able to adopt counties as rapidly as they want to be, adopt ECRV. And in that scenario, we can, once we have counties that are prepared to accept ECRVs, then we can make, you know, the declaration that we want all UCRVs to, or all CRVs to be ECRVs. We're probably not going to be in a position to declare that you should not accept paper, but I think that once we have all the counties able to accept ECRVs, I think the adoption will be very rapid. And there will be seamless between the two. The e-recording piece basically falls away. Once every county is using the full ECRV, there is no e-recording workaround or separate process.
And right. Submitters like that? Title companies like that?
I mean, once it's to that point, once it's like in a Dakota situation, it's assigning the number.
Which is the easiest. And in fact, I asked Dakota specifically, I said, now, when you accept e-recording, do you want the PDF or are you going to want just the number? And their answer was emphatically, we only want the number. Because I don't, and I verified this with Janine, and I think I asked UK, and the reason is because, well, then they don't have to worry about storing the PDF and keeping track of it.
Or separating it or doing whatever they need. It's just the number.
That's got to be quite a cost saving for revenue once that would, the elimination of that paper process. I would think that there'd be quite a cost saving there.
Well, what it means is that the representatives can be notified immediately when a CRV is ready. So they don't have to go and pick up mm-hmm. the paper CRVs. And, in fact, they can get CRVs into their in-basket as soon as the county, finalizes them, which means they can be done one at a time or they can be done on batches by property type. They can happen in any way the county, and the rep sort of, wants to do that. So there can be a more resource level, process where they're managing CRVs or editing and working with them or reviewing them. So there's that. And they can then focus their attention, I think, more on, you know, following up sales that maybe need more attention. They can spend more time doing that.
So in all, it might start great, kind of chipping away at the development costs, of the initial development costs of the ECRV?
Well, it's not really... The savings from revenue, when we did the analysis of that, is virtually, very minimal. I mean, dollar savings. What's really the savings is that it allows the focus of the representative to be more on oversight than reviewing sales and making sure that those are accurate and working with counties directly for those issues, as opposed to just simply, rifling through the paper looking for things. So they can spend less time looking and more time actually, following up the analysis.
Okay, the real savings to revenue has already taken place. When they put the obligation on the county some years back to have to send them an electronic file. Now, the real savings to revenue is the fact that as the counties get cut back, they'll benefit by the counties not being able to continue doing that, but just giving them paper in the future. But that's the real benefit that they're going to have, is that it will keep the counties from having to go back to just giving them paper, because we're going to lose the ability to do things electronically with them when it's having to be inputted from paper. So that's where the revenue department got their savings many years ago. They just never carried it on to make it possible for both ends of the equation to benefit. So, when you add something here, you have to add something on the other side of the equation. They forgot to do that, so there's always been a minus on the county side. So that's the way I tend to describe those things. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get on to Bonnie here. I think we need to hear from up in Clay County, how are things doing up in the Northwest, and how has the testing gone? And I know, Bonnie, you kind of shared a memo about some issues, and maybe we can talk about that. So I'll turn it over to you, Bonnie.
Okay. Well, first, I'd like to just mention that Tuesday, I believe, we e-recorded about 65% of our documents.
Mm, wow.
Congratulations. That's fantastic. Very good. You didn't have any deeds then, I gather, huh? Or maybe I shouldn't even ask that question. Maybe we go on here. Skip the question. Scratch the question from the record.
We could have had deeds, without CRVs.
Of course. Right.
I really didn't even go and look at the doc types, other than I know my staff told me that there were a lot of mortgages. And anyway, we were all just surprised by the percentage, by the number of documents. But,
wow.
Okay, back to my email and the testing that we did. The testing, as far as the e-recording process, went just fine, no problem. And we didn't really anticipate any problems. And Jason has been great to work with. He's been very timely to respond to any questions that I've had or anything, and I really appreciate that. We did have some positive comments, and we did have some, I won't really say they're negative comments. It was more questions, just kind of wondering about the overall workflow and stuff, looking at it from the submitter standpoint. And, I thought it was good that those questions came up, because we do need to address the questions, because as more submitters get involved, these questions are going to keep coming up, and so we need to have answers for them. And
Bonnie, did you actually have any private submitters try playing with it on your testing, or was it just...
Yes.
You did, okay.
Yes. Not a lot, but yes.
Okay.
And then we had the assessors and the auditor's office and my staff, quite a few different county personnel and city personnel, all going and creating ECRVs, as well as non-government people, creating ECRVs just to get the feel of it and to see what their comments were and their questions. And then that email I sent was comments and the questions that came back. And I guess the biggest question that kind of hit me in the face was, did the recording laws change so the requirements can be different when e-recording? You know, and I guess I never really thought about that, but I think it's a question that needs to be addressed, because I can see that it will probably be coming from other places as we get more submitters involved.
Bonnie, when I read your question, that it seems to me that it's two-part. Number one, as it relates to electronic recording, well, the law was changed when the state adopted UEDA and finally allowed electronic recording in Minnesota based on the standards that would be adopted by the commission. Then the question about CRVs, and that's a totally separate question from electronic recording. It's really a question that's governed by the Department of Revenue statutes, which mandates the Commissioner of Revenue to basically collect this information. And how he or she chooses to do so is really at their discretion, and what additional information that they might include on questions, that's, again, at the discretion of the Commissioner for the Department of Revenue. They have included some additional questions, which requires more information to help them do their studies, sale ratio studies around the state, and they really tend to center around whether or not it was a, well, first of all, they want all of the buyers and sellers on property rather than just some as had been required before, maybe the principal ones. And they also want to basically have that information to get down to whether it's a bona fide, good faith, arm's length transaction that should be included in the sale ratio study. And the more information they can gather on that to know, that's why they've added those additional questions. Now, Jason, I'm going to ask you to comment on that, too, if you want to add to and clarify further. But
sure. And I do have a copy of the memo that I pulled up here. You know, so basically the primary question that I saw in the memo was, you know, it looks like there's the PE-20 and the PE-20A were combined. And that is the case. They were combined into one form, which is actually an advantage in the ECRV process and a disadvantage. The disadvantage is that we are able to ask effectively and efficiently more questions for all sales that help us determine that arm's length transaction. It wasn't the case that we didn't really want. We wanted those questions all along for all the sales. It was just that in the paper process, it was overly onerous to ask that for all the residential sales, and so they weren't asked. Now, not all the questions are still asked. It, you know, you have to pick the property type to get, you know, the acreage questions, for instance, and most of the additional questions are true-false in nature. So that's why they're on there. It unifies the form. It's a consistent form for every sale. So there is some advantages in that light. And really, I think if you did the analysis, there's not that many additional questions that are really asked. So that's on that score. Any comments about that? Or
could you hear Jason fine on that, Bonnie?
Yes, I did. I heard you both. And I, you know, those are good answers. Question. And I didn't know all those details. You know, I didn't know that it was totally up to DOR's discretion. You know, it does. I'm just glad that the question came out.
Right.
I think it's important to have that question defined.
And I will. There is a already a question like this on the FAQ page on the application that says, you know, is there a separate PE-20 and PE-20A? And there's a short answer to it. It doesn't talk about that discretion. You know, there's another section up there in the process that maybe describes that. But I'll revisit the FAQ and the help documentation from time to time, especially as we get new counties on board and we can collect some of these and try to describe them right in the application. Not that everyone goes and reads those pages before they ask the questions.
I think that's the issue.
They're going to do that. But you know, if I have been asked these questions, then as I go and speak in Mankato or elsewhere, I'll be able to more directly discuss them. But you know, it's almost like it's a relearning process of why ECRV or why CRV exists in the first place.
Right. And I think you end up finding that it is the county as really the agent for the state that ends up getting most of those questions and ends up having to respond to the citizen customer. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, because we're on the front line.
Right.
And I do want to say, Bonnie, that Jason did continually tell me that he enjoyed answering the questions, and that all we had to do was present them to him, and he would help us in how to answer them and how to start to educate the public. He said he really enjoyed going out and meeting the people who were using these and listening to the questions. So I don't think, you know, we're going to get just shut off from the educational benefit that we're going to do now. And each time he speaks, he'll have a little bit more, know a little bit more what the people need to hear to be educated through these questions. And it is just an education process.
Well, and I think that's part of what we can do to help revenue in administering the CRB and answering those questions. As we get educated better ourselves, we can share that with that group of customers so that you don't get inundated at revenue with all those sorts of issues.
And we certainly have been, you know, Dakota did a pretty good job as in the first county at sort of pushing back on certain questions. We did eliminate a couple questions as a result of the walkthrough. When we get together with the representatives and in the property tax division, we really did go through each of the questions and ask ourselves, do we really need to ask this question in order to do it? So it's not like it was just slammed together. We spent a lot of time trying to streamline as much as possible, and it's a trade-off, and it is no easy answer. You know, you're going to miss... I mean, the good news is we tend to, I mean, Minnesota, the state of Minnesota tends to err on the side of trying to make sure that the assessments are very good and accurate. And in order to do that, you need a good and accurate representative of what the sales are.
Right.
And to do that, you need to have the right kind of questions on the CRB. And that's, this state does it different than other states. And as a result, you know, we're never going to fully be favorable in comparison to your Dakota across the border, Bonnie, and I apologize for that. But on the other hand, I think that if people really look at the way their assessments, they may quibble about, you know, the budgets and the local governments and so forth and what we're spending it on. But I think the assessments of values, you know, in terms of the representative of relative to sales, that process is actually functioning very, very well, and I think CRV is one major reason why that is the case.
I agree with you on that point, Jason, because North Dakota doesn't even require that a purchase price be included. It doesn't have to be on a deed. It can be on a separate piece of paper that is sent to the Department of Revenue in their state, and that piece of paper is private. And so it's very difficult for North Dakota appraisers and assessors and everybody to even know what the purchase price was, let alone all this other information that a CRV includes. And so there has been discussion at times about how they wish they had some of the things that we have. But then, of course, the submitters who are just trying to get the documentation through the system as quickly as possible and be done with that part of it, you know, they'd rather deal with North Dakota.
And I'm sure they're only corrected when the assessment price is way too high.
Well, there's a lot of discussion right now about North Dakota property tax being way too high and how they calculate it and everything else. It's up in the air, the big topic right now.
Bonnie, I'm going to...
Go ahead.
Bonnie, I'm going to turn a question to you that I'm going to ask of the others. With the testing that you've done and what you've been, where you've been at so far, would you be willing to start going live with the use of the ECRV as early as Tuesday of next week?
Yes, I would. I'm up for moving forward, period.
Okay. Kay and Janine, let me ask you both the same question. I know, Kay, you've done some testing with it.
Yes.
You would be too?
Yes, I have to agree with Bonnie on that. Let's start. Let's get going on it.
Janine, I know you haven't been able to do the testing, but...
I haven't been able to do the testing, but in the review of everything we do, it's just the process of moving their information through my information that we haven't done. I mean, the electronic part of it, because our assessor has looked at those questions. They've looked at what their process will be. We've talked about, you know, our back end after we get it. Yes, I would like to test it a couple times before I said, yes, I'd go ahead, but I don't see that it's any problems. It's just the electronic part of doing it that we haven't done, because I don't...
You would need to test it with a vendor to make sure that everything is working and stuff before you'd say I'm going live, but...
Simplifile is testing with us. It's just that I asked Fiddler quite some time ago if we were ready to go with that, and they said, yes, you should be able to go, and then Kay said I saw in an email Kay said she was working with Fiddler to get ready, so I called them again and had a conference call, and they said, oh, no, you're ready to go. Well, I just wasn't talking to the right people. The right, you know. So then we tried it. We tried to test it, and it didn't work. And so then they called me and said, oh, no. We have to put in some back electronic. I don't know what you call it. They had to work on what had to come through.
And the doc types had to be put
in. The doc types,
the doc types,
yes,
had to be put in. And then
I thought that was already
some
done.
Other things.
Yeah, I thought that was already done. Mm-hmm. And so they said that as soon as they finished with Kay, they would work on mine. And
it might have been a little bit different, too, because Bonnie may have the same company. She uses a different product than Janine and I use, so right. I think that might be a little bit of a difference.
From revenue's point of view, our concern was basically twofold. One is, and the primary one in this situation, is will the printed paper form go through the paper process at the county level once they get it? So once you get the PDF and you print it out, will it work? And it sounds like you have reviewed that with your assessment.
We've reviewed it. We haven't. We really haven't had one that had numbers in it, but
sure.
I guess we could have created that, but we've been talking to them about how
right.
this will work.
Well, you could do that, because you could just go to the sandbox, create your own PDF, right. and print them out and you know, walk through an ag and a commercial industrial and a you know, residential type and just you know double-check mm-hmm. that. And if you were able to do that, I would have no problem with saying that we could turn you on also in Tuesday. But if you would rather that we wait, we'll go ahead and turn the production on for Mountain and Clay on Tuesday. I don't have any problem with going ahead and doing that. And Clay can decide, you know, when they want to tell me when they want to be in production as well. I mean, putting you into production doesn't actually mean anything either in terms of you can tell your submitter whether you want it or not.
Well, the thing is, you can put me into production, but until I have one come through,
right.
I'm not in production.
Exactly.
So
we could go ahead and add you to. We'll just add you to the menu as well, and then can manage.
And I may have several weeks. I may have several weeks to test before I get a live one anyway.
The one issue is that once you're listed in the menu and you're in production, then a submitter will go ahead and try to submit to you. So you just need to be prepared that may happen.
Mm-hmm. So likely they could send a manual one with a printed CRV, right? You'd be in a position to take that if you wanted to, right? They could print out a CRV and
they
send it.
We're asking that
right?
they don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not. That's why we're asking the submitters to register. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the idea though is that maybe by the end of the year, if we have a sufficient number of that nice long list of e-recording counties that are actually doing e-recording, and you know, and we've got a good enough volume, because right now we don't have any volume. And any real, I mean, it's one thing to test a few CRVs, but it's another to get some volume through.
That's true.
And once we get some volume through on a few of these counties, and we say yes, because that's the second point. I said there were two issues of concern. The other one is just the use of the front-end form by submitters. Now, that's not really an e-recording use of ECRV. It's the ECRV, period. And so all the questions that Bonnie had communicated from her testing was basically about the form, not the back end of the process. And this has nothing to do with e-recording per se. It's just an ECRV issue. So, again, if we feel confident that all the questions are dealt with there, and yes, there's some grumbling that might be possible and so forth, but by and large, the system works, then maybe by the end of the year we can declare that, yes, anyone can go ahead and use the ECRV to submit their CRV, even if a county is not using the full ECRV, because they can just print out the PDF in the way you say. So I'd love for that to get to that point, but I don't want to turn that on and get, and this is another reason why we need to register submitters, because, you know, if you're, Traverse County, and you suddenly start getting these other ECRVs on your doorstep, and no one's, you know, talked to you about it, you're not going to know what's going on. Okay. That's the danger. And, you know, so we are... You know, we are trying to communicate. I don't want to send up a false balloon to counties and confuse them. But we're gonna have to communicate real quickly. When we go to this e-recording piece on Tuesday, we're going to have to let all the counties in the state know what's going on, and say, you know, here's what the pieces are. And this transition phase is confusing. It is just confusing. And the quicker we can get to the point where we can say, go ahead and use the ECRV front end to create a PDF and print it and submit, the better off we'll be, because it'll be less confusing.
What if you let registered submitters do that because they're registered?
Well, the county has to, the county has to be participating also. So... You know, at the moment, I guess, you know, the loophole that you're citing is that, well, if I'm a registered submitter for doing e-recording to a county that's accepting the e-recording, but can I just go ahead and send it, you know, via manual paper anyway, you know, it's really between you and the county at that point. I mean, I'm not going to declare it as an official thing, because it just will cause more confusion if I try to allow that loophole. But you know what? I mean, if you are doing that to Janine and you talk to Janine and she already knows that they have to print that PDF anyway, and Janine says, sure, go right ahead, you know, we're not going to even know. Revenue's not going to even know or care.
Well, and the reason I propose that is because I at this point in time, particularly with a commercial operation, we for all the counties that are registering to become users of this system, you know, somebody please buy a commercial property in Lyon County or Martin County. Close with First American, because that's the only way I'm going to actually be able to test this.
Right, right.
So so throwing that out just as a something to think about, maybe it would be easier to track a volume type of issue on the DOR side if we can increase that volume under a controlled mechanism as opposed to just throwing it out there.
Well, and we've been doing that with Dakota County. I mean, you know, Dakota County has been testing that piece. So really it's almost more of a education of the counties. Sure. And, you know, we started down this path on the e-recording side to help the e-recording piece. We really want to get counties to sign up and get going on the full ECRV. We don't really want to, you know, get more confusion about, you know, doing this other piece. But so it's a little bit of a juggling act, and we'll try to put those pieces together as best we can over the next several months and play it by ear almost. You know,
we really need this first piece. We really need this first step to get in there.
The thing is, though, is as I think it, as the time we get just get them educated into doing this, the full piece will be ready. When I said, you know, almost by the time we get our testing done, hopefully the Department of Revenue has the full-blown one so that the only thing we get in is the number on the deed.
If that eight-month figure was right about how long it might take, we're already at 4 months, Janine?
I said, you know, I think that when some counties get, by the time some counties get through testing,
well,
and feeling comfortable with the workaround, the other one may be ready to go. And that's the answer to all of us. I mean, we would all rather not have to print it off.
Well, I told all the counties that were in this meeting in Marshall are small volume counties, and I said to any one of them that they could start testing full ECRV with me when they're ready right away. And in fact, I would like to see one or two of those counties actually begin using the full ECRV system before the end of the year. And I have permission from our technical staff to go ahead and add, you know, a couple of small volume counties into the full ECRV system. And we've already gone and spoken to, and that's the second piece of my report is the full ECRV report. And you know, I've already spoken to Otter Tail, Olmsted, and Steele about using the full ECRV, and they are small volume counties, and I'm just awaiting for them to request their logins. And as soon as they get their logins, they can go ahead and test using the county edit process. And then, you know, Blue Earth and Martin, it's possible that, well, Martin is an e-recording county, so we don't want Martin to toggle to full ECRV right away because, in a way, you're sort of, you know, a banner holder for the e-recording piece. But you could start testing, and I've talked to our technical people also about this, that once you're in production with e-recording, we can give you logins to the test region, and you can start testing the full ECRV. That way, so you don't have to wait a certain amount of time to begin testing.
And you're going
to
suggest this on the 21st,
yep,
when we're at Blue Earth with,
yep,
with my group too.
Yes, and so you know we want a couple of small volume counties right away, and you know the delay that we've had is really, you know, it's a little twofold, but some of it's confusion. But really, we're ready. We spoke to Olmsted 2 months ago. And you know they're just not ready yet. This is the expected pattern, really. As we speak to counties and say we're ready to go, we'd like you to start testing, and then it takes a little while to get going.
I think that holds that up for you, Jason, is that although recorders have been looking at this for a long time, those other departments have not.
Well, I've been speaking for a number of years at the MAAO conference, so the assessors and the auditor treasurers conference. So this is not new to counties by and large.
They just thought it would only go with e-recording.
Well, they're saying until really show me that it's real. Well, that's what I'm doing by visiting Martin and Marshall. Is saying, look, here it is, ready to go. Here's the implementation guide. Give me your log.
It's a little push and shove, and I think,
yes,
that's what they need. They know it's out there. It's,
yep,
time.
Yep.
It's just time to push it a little more to the next step, and
yep,
I think that's what we need to
do. And as far as answering questions over and over again, like I said to Janine, of course, I don't mind that at all. And to let you know, I mean, if you had the chance of going and visiting your lovely counties or staying in the Department of Revenue building, what would you rather do? So.
This is Bonnie. I have a couple questions.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
One question, Jason. AAMO, is that what you said? Is,
yes,
that the Metro County Group?
No, usually it's in Alexandria. So it's a statewide. It's a statewide organization.
Assessors organization.
Yeah.
It's which? Oh, assessors organization.
The assessors.
Okay.
Yeah, and then MACO. I've spoken at MACO a few times, too. So.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know that Ackerman. Then, so I'm going to send my email to you, Jason, that says that I am ready to move ahead with production. And then I guess I'm hoping that you will also give my loan submitter approval to actually submit a live ECRV then for e-recording.
Yep. That,
okay.
And as I, you know, all the people that sent me registrations, what I've been responding to them saying that, you know, when we've actually turned production on, we will give you the acknowledgement. But up until that time,
okay,
you can go ahead and test.
Okay. My only problem there is Joel is a lone attorney, you know, a single practitioner, so he doesn't do lots of closings, and so I don't know how soon I'll get one with a CRV, but anyway, he'll be ready to go then at that point. And I guess I'm still a little bit hesitant about, you know, it would really be up to Dalen, I guess, as far as finding other submitters that would be interested in submitting deeds using this process. Most of our submitters right now are not you know, interested in submitting mortgages and satisfactions and packages that don't include deeds, because I don't think, you know, it's been an easy sell for deeds in this area when they couldn't do both sides of the river. So I guess I'm kind of curious what Dalen might have to say about that.
Well, he's got a pretty big smile creeping up on his face here, I can see, to relate to you, Bonnie.
If I may interject a little bit, I think that this is an excellent example that I can bring back to the department to make the argument to turn on the front-end form for non-e-recording pieces. Because what you're saying is that, look, we're the county able to deal with them if they show up in this printed form, but we aren't maybe getting lots of e-recording, you know, pieces in there. And we would prefer to get that printed form. So why can't we go ahead and let submitters use ECRV to do that? That's the type of argument that we can learn from and use to get more quickly, and that's the one that you're talking about. So I did hear that, and I did connect that, and we can...
And I
can use that to make that argument back in the office.
And I think I would particularly make that rather strong push coming from Clay County, because there's lots of competitive reasons and political reasons to be doing that,
especially
this time of the year before an election.
Sure. Now, that being said, Bonnie, you know that, you know, the submitter, if they go ahead and submit that way, you know, it's really not a problem. It's just that I'm not publicly saying that that's something that we're supporting at this time.
And then, Bonnie, you don't probably want to have your auditor call somebody at Revenue to ask if they would accept this if they printed it out from the PDF and submitted it with the paper deed.
Yeah.
Let's see, have that worked out.
Good.
And if you wouldn't mind, you know, repeating that statement in the email that you send in, that would be useful to get that in that email.
Should I send you an email?
And sure, Rob, you certainly can send me an email to that effect, too.
Let me ask, is there any submitter that has a question or any vendor that has a question or concern about Revenue turning this on Tuesday to go live for those counties that choose to sign up and for those vendors that choose to register with the State Department of Revenue for the CRV, the ECRV? Any hesitation, concern, questions?
We just need more home sales.
We need a better economy, don't we? Yeah.
And Rob, to you and your commercial, Martin County, we can't use another ethanol plant. You've done too many ethanol plants in Martin County.
There might be some homes for sale in White Bear Lake. Right?
White Bear Estates, not Lake anymore. Dallin, yes.
If I could comment, and I'm representing submitters, you know, not just Simplifile, because of course the submitters come back to us, as Jenny knows. And we're in oftentimes put in consulting positions and educating positions, which we're happy to do. Well, first of all, you know, obviously applauding progress. We're very excited that in especially border counties where this can be promoted. And I also applaud being able to have our submitters toss their typewriters and be able to get on and do the ECRV PDFs, as we've started to call it, because you have the ECRV, you have the CRV PDFs, and then you have the paper format. So yeah, all of that is great. We have had submitters that think about us as an electronic courier. And in those cases, because they log in under password, they log in and then enjoy all of this security and encryption, that don't understand, and we've gotten a lot of pushback, as to then why can't I scan in the form? Because as an electronic courier, it is more secure to get it to the county as long as the CRB, sorry, Department of Revenue is still accepting the forms. So representing the submitter, I would say I'd love the committee, love the Department of Revenue, to consider all of the above. Yeah, let's continue to push very hard towards the ECRB. Let's continue to open up, even encourage documents presented over the counter with the CRB PDF. And then let's also enable, if they're registered or whatever other rules and regulations, to also just be able to scan that in. Because that's the other major barrier. It really is. Because you have some smaller title companies, law firms, etc., that don't have the ability to pull in an extra resource, whether that be a person or the IT ability to get to the other yet. So that's a couple comments and following up from Bonnie's statement a minute ago.
Well, the quick response to that is that the problem is the Social Security number on the form.
And understand that there's some sensitivity around that, but as long as it's presented over the counter, it's more secure to get it to the county electronically than it is to put it in.
Yes, but as we've discussed, the problem is that it is stored electronically in multiple locations. It's stored first off in your facility. It's stored on disk somewhere on your facility. It then gets stored on disk in the county's facility. And currently the paper form is ripped off and put in an envelope and there is no storage. It's gone to revenue. And so, you know, there is no assurance that storage is, you know, safely and immediately redacted or deleted in a secure manner, and therefore the Social Security numbers can live indefinitely in innumerable places. And that's why we won't allow that.
So the decision's made.
Yep.
All right.
Well, I would only add to the fact that as we look at the vision in the long term, I think that is only a way to enable, is that the right word? Enable the submitter from not moving forward.
Well,
you
we
know,
want them to throw
it. Because it will allow them, that it would allow them to continue their process.
Scanning the form doesn't throw away the typewriter.
I'm talking to Dallin.
I mean, you know, that scanning the form is perpetuating the use of the paper form.
I mean, because the Department of Revenue eventually, I'm hoping that is the right term, eventually would choose to have them all done electronically.
Right.
With the full, I mean, that would be the optimal goal. If we allow them to continue to just scan in the old form,
it'll be harder to turn off the paper.
And so, you know, I just think that that's just such a short time until they're going to be there. But it's a good upfront step to force. Does that sound right? Force our submitters to put it in the form in which we want.
But the reason is purely a security reason on the Social Security numbers.
Bonnie, I have another question.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah, I understand what everybody is saying, you know, what Janine is saying, and that makes total sense to me. I understand the security issues, but I just wonder, does DOR recognize the current situation where staff from the county will sometimes sort the paper CRVs on the front counter, which is open to the public? You know, I mean, the security now is so lax, it's really kind of scary. And so I see what Dalen is saying about me being more secure in a digital format.
Right.
When I think about all the people that have access to that paper CRV, I really do believe it is more secure in a digital format if all those items are covered that Jason mentioned, because I feel like the items that he mentioned are covered in our process.
Well, first off, I would say that you know, it's really up to the county to be safeguarding the Social Security numbers that they receive and to, you know, get that pink form, you know, off that CRV and sent into the Department of Revenue as soon as you choose to accept it, and that maybe you ought not to be sorting them on the front counter. But I would disagree on the level of security risk. You know, the people that are there, you know, someone sorting them, you can see whether someone's trying to look at these documents. Whereas, you know, once they're on disk and those disks are in backups and those backups are, you know, sent to other facilities, you know, suddenly the number of people that might be able to get access to that is significant. And it only takes one of those breach items to throw into question the entire security, you know, scenario. And that is what the Department of Revenue's security officer has said, that that's just a completely unacceptable scenario.
Alan, Jason, I don't know of any county that images or scans the CRV with a Social Security number on it and stores it.
It would, though, if they sent it in that way. Then we would have it electronically imaged into our...
Not on disks, but...
Yeah, and our backups.
The process is... I obviously can't speak for what other vendors do with their redundant data. I mean, for Simplifile, because we're using the ACH and because we're handling all sorts of information, and in other states, there are Social Security numbers on documents. We take security incredibly serious and use third parties to also secure that, and don't have any backup disks because it's all done web-enabled. I understand that there's still a question about, you know, could it ever be hacked? And as we periodically hear, you know, Wells Fargo will make an announcement and say, your documents are a little bit at risk. And so, you know, there are those stories out there, but... A user has to get in under a secure access with a password, and they have access to the information in hard copy. So that's the electronic courier model.
Well, and in fact, I mean, the ECRV system is designed so that even the access that is being given to the counties to see the CRV, they cannot.
Right.
The Social Security is been stripped off completely, and we've handled that, and that is the model that we need to be focusing on.
Which, again, I applaud, and the fact that we're this far is very exciting. I'm not wanting to look back, but wanting to have the submitter's voice heard.
Sure.
As they reflect back, you know, especially in border counties, or if they're comfortable with the process in other states, because that, as other states have been talked about, there are few multi-state submitters that get used to a process. Colorado's another helper document state. So they're familiar with that. And so if it's okay in Colorado, why isn't it okay in Minnesota? And if I can scan these documents here, why can't I do Minnesota? So it's a good discussion. Quick follow-up, though, that I have to quickly ask. It's also related on topic. So if we have a submitter that is in North Dakota, but as a title company is administering to both sides of the stream, whether it's in North Dakota or Fargo or Moorhead, do they have to register with you as well, even if they're physically housed in Fargo or North Dakota?
Yes.
Okay. And there won't be any delays or... Right, oh, there's a little bit of concern of, if we put in the request, how will we get authorized?
Right, and so the request comes in to the ECRV support email. Currently, it's being received by a team of people that include myself, and then we respond, you know, via email, stating that we've received, you know, your request. Once we've gone to production, the response probably will be directly that, well, you are now acknowledged as being there, and it's not a mailed document; it'll be an email.
And it is a relatively painless process, and you know, the email is shortcoming. Probably within an hour, I think I got the response that I was on the DOR's blacklist.
Good.
It helps that he did it between the hours of 9 and 11. But, yeah.
Okay, that's great news. And that's,
when does your audit start?
We got that notice yet. Well, that's helpful, because once again...
This is Chris from Carlton. I just want to mention, too, that I think Jason is on the right track, because the public also looks to us to be assured that their data is secure, and they're going to want that from a governmental agency security assurance, not a vendor security, not taking anything away from the submitters, But I think, you know, we have to do our due diligence for the public, too, and make sure that they're comfortable, that their data is secure and being guaranteed as being secure from a governmental agency, not from a vendor or a submitter. I think that would give them a greater comfort level, too. And they're part of also our clientele. It isn't just the companies that process these documents. It's also the people that are coming in to have their transactions processed. They need to know and be assured that we are diligent about this. And I agree with Jason. I think that would also give them a level of comfort.
Kristen, I couldn't agree with you more in the sense that I know Dallin likes the helper document, but I think we have a far better permanent long-term solution that is the ECRV for everything eventually, and that really takes care of that Social Security number for everybody. And counties will never have access to it. We won't have to worry about public seeing it on any counters or any place at the county. We won't have to worry about county staff seeing it. It goes only to where it needs to go, which is revenue, to deal with the administration of perhaps collection purposes that you're involved in and tax issues that are very appropriate for revenue to be involved in. So,
can I just add, as a very impatient person, then let's get going on it.
Yeah, no. Right. And I wasn't meant at all to be looking backwards.
No, I understand.
I prefaced it with all of the above.
Right.
Let's keep going with all of the above. But the clarification discussion has been good. And again, we're in a situation where we advise and we consult and we will represent the answer.
I think revenue is on the right path, and I don't want to do anything that would distract them or get them off the rail we're going down. I think we want to do everything we can to support exactly what they're doing and to get it rolled out as quickly as we can and test it appropriately and give the appropriate feedback that they need in order to create that secure quality product that I think we're all looking for. So I'm tickled to death to hear, Jason, what's gone on. I can tell all of you he did also meet in the metro area with a group of prep with a lot of title companies and so forth there. And I think it was well received. I was on vacation, so I wasn't there. But what I've heard from people is there was certainly a number of questions and good dialogue that was carried on and a lot of enthusiasm, even though he didn't get a standing ovation for his presentation. But,
or banana bread.
but there was a lot of interest and a lot of excitement that we're getting to that point where it's really going to come to fruition now. So that's what I heard from at least my colleagues in the metro area. Michelle, I don't know, were you there that day?
I was.
And you can comment. Was
well received. I think everybody was pleased to hear the progress that Jason reported to the group. Yeah.
And Rob, you and Janelle, I'm assuming, were both there.
It was well received. And I'm a little disappointed there weren't more people afterwards that registered, particularly because they have probably more of an opportunity to test this than a commercial operation does. Nevertheless, given the group being a metro group, the test counties to date don't really represent a viable marketplace for the metro folks. And I did play in the sandbox a little bit. Sherburn, I saw, is on the drop-down, which is great. That gets us one step closer into the metro area. So perhaps when we proceed on that, the next metro prep meeting can announce that many more metro area counties are in there to encourage that participation.
I think that's kind of a concern, though, too, is that the volumes come from the metro counties, and we're getting the small counties with little volume on there, and the users, the submitters, want those volume counties. And
well, that's why a registered
submitter
should be
able to do it. That's where the
action
won't happen until
there's
some of these big counties in there.
Let me address that. You know, again, we don't in using it for an e-recording purpose, where they are not logging in, the county is not logging in, and we're not processing it in the back end in using the system. We can get any of the metro counties on board. So when we go to production, if Hennepin wants to sign up and start doing that, they can do that. So we can, now Sherburn is actually testing the full ECRV, and they've been, since the last meeting, they've been given their, they've requested and been given their logins, and so they've been moving ahead with their testing. So that's a very positive development as well. In terms of e-recording use, once we go to production on Tuesday, and we then, you know, we can accept registrations from any county in the state that can do e-recording. So,
Jason, I was going to ask you, I'm assuming you don't want Hennepin to go into full ECRV at this point, but would we be able to start perhaps just testing for ECRV for electronic purposes?
Yeah, what we would do is we would have a conversation with you and Tom Shear,
right,
Jim Atchison about how you want to proceed with your testing. And we could certainly go to production on the e-recording piece at your discretion.
Okay.
And then we could continue testing in the sandbox in the full ECRV.
Right.
And we know there's going to be some time for the ECRV, the full ECRV, to meet your requirements anyway. So in my estimation, you're going to want to be doing the e-recording.
Right. We'll want to be doing that first, and that's...
I was assuming that was going to be the case.
And that's what I was wondering. So we could, even as soon as next week, at least get on so that we could do testing to be able to do ECRVs.
I know that's hard to believe, Mike. But
okay.
Yes.
No, I find it very exciting to believe. you're I've never been a doubting Thomas, but this whole process has made me wonder, and perhaps I need to be, but yes. I'm excited to see this get to this point, Jason. No, I'm
excited to see Hennepin County keeping up with Lyon County.
Well, and I've always wanted to keep up with my country cousin down in Marshall. Yes, Janelle.
Can I just clarify that, Jason, so would that be acceptable for every metro county?
If the metro counties want to register and start using the e-recording piece, and then the answer is yes. Now, I assume that they can't register really. It doesn't make sense. Well, they can register. I don't care if they're on the list or not. But I know that on the list of e-recording companies that there is, there's a long list of counties. That's, 30 or so counties.
Yeah, it's upper 20s.
Give or take or two. But, I don't care if they're on that list or not. They can register.
Okay, they can register.
But if they're not on the list, then and they registered, maybe I do care, because it just opens the door for misuse, at least early on. I guess it'd be I'd like to know that they're actually going to be doing e-recording, at least in the short run.
Yep.
Again, by the end of the year, everyone. But.
Yep.
Because to really promote this through PREP or MLTA or anything of that sort, the more that we can have metro involvement, number one, the greater the volume, obviously. That's what's really, from a submitter standpoint.
I guess what I would like it to see happen, and I guess I'm doing a request here, and that is that, we've done very minimal testing. We really have done minimal testing. I mean, nothing against what Martin has done and Clay has done. That's fabulous. But maybe it'd be nice if we just hold off on the rah-rah recruiting for just a little bit. Maybe till this next meeting, which is early October.
It's October 21st.
Is it that long?
Mm-hmm.
So, you can ping me and say, how's it going, and can I tell this group or that group? Go, I don't mind you asking me, can I bring it up at this group or that group, and I'll have a response to you on how to do that. I just am concerned that something's going to happen that can cause people. I don't want to get everyone just rushing for the door and get a squeaky door and we all can't get in, nicely. And it'll harm everyone rather than help everyone. So, the short answer is I don't see that we're going to have a problem. That we so go ahead and start up Hennepin, in the short run here, and even that's a high volume use of the ECRV system that we have not seen yet. We have not really tested that. Now, the belief is that that's not going to be a problem because we're not storing the CRVs and we're not asking the county to log in and tracking multiple copies of that within the system, but you're still going to be hitting the front-end form in a way that it has not been hit before. When a larger county like that, you know, registers, I'm gonna call them and say, well, you know, let's talk this over and make sure that we're doing this in the right way. But by and large, the answer is yes. We want all the recording counties to go ahead and register, and we want them to start using it.
This is Bonnie. I need to run. I just want to say thank you to everybody for keeping this process moving forward. I appreciate that, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Bonnie, for your participation.
Bonnie, before you go, did I answer all the questions in the memo? Because I know that we hadn't really talked about that, but I responded to Bonnie in her memo via email. I just wanted to know if those answers made sense to you.
Yes. I think between the reply that you gave me and answers to the questions that came up today, I think I have answers for everything. And yeah.
Very good.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for...
I have my email to you to get approved, and my next email will be soon to ask for logins again.
All right. Well, very good, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bonnie.
I did want to mention, too, that we tried to get Jason on the MLTA schedule for this year. The agenda had already been set, but he will be on for the spring conference as well. So
I've got all of April blocked off.
Yeah. Whether that's a little late for, you know, what we want to, but with prep and with MLTA between those, I think we can get the word out.
You'll get to go to St. Cloud, which the department will think much more highly of than Madden. So, Jason, you'll be much better that way.
And I think that, you know, that April time frame will be, that's the kind of time frame where we really will be able to not only be, you know, proactively recruiting, but really trying to do maybe a little bit more than just recruit, but a little arm twist, you know, as well.
Recruit, promote, and probably demo.
Yeah. Well, we're already demoing, so.
But alive.
Yeah.
Janelle?
Well, I think the next MLTA board meeting is in November, and I think this will be on their agenda, too, just from a submitter standpoint, to try to start saying, okay, so we're really close here. We need submitters to step up, too, and we need submitters to reinforce just the priority of this and to really get things moving. But we do need the CRV and we need the Metro involvement.
Is that something that you would want me to attend, or is that not?
Let me check, Jason.
Okay.
Well,
just
I will ask
know.
Again, and yes, it may, that might really help.
I don't know. I'm not. Would you be available, the second week in January sometime to talk to the MACO group again, too, Jason?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I don't know what the agenda plan schedule is at this point, but I think this might be an appropriate time to touch base on that with the whole group again.
Yes. Very much so. The whole group. Auditor, treasurer, the whole group.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Anybody on the commission have any reservations about moving forward next Tuesday? We won't celebrate too much yet, but we will.
Well, I can say we will go live with Martin and Clay County next Tuesday. So for the e-recording piece of ECRV.
And for others that wish to register appropriately and move forward as they get ready to go online, be it Lion or any of the others. So be it.
Yep.
I don't think any motion or resolution or anything is necessary from us. This is just what we've been hoping for, and move ahead.
We don't have enough people to do it anyway.
No. Have we beat this one to death? Shall we quick try and move on here and get through the rest of the agenda? Subcommittee reports, trusted submitters. Jeff, I'll let you.
There's only a couple things. One was in MLTA. The other thing is we've got the trusted submitters. Thanks, Diane, up on the site.
Sally.
I mean. And the other thing we are just need to finish up, I'll follow up with Eileen, is the trusted submitter agreement, because we had made a number of changes to that, and just the last step is for Eileen to take the last look at it. We'll finalize that, and we'll post that to the website as well. Then that can be out there, and we can move forward. And beyond our other efforts around ECRD.
I've been doing some presentations at various clients in the metro area, in particular on the ECRV and e-recording both. With e-recording, thank you for putting the trusted submitter list out there, because that's information that I've been able to include in the presentation. One additional piece of information that would be great would be to have a list of the counties that are for one form or another, also accepting e-recorded documents. I don't know. I usually end up calling Kay, and I get a list from Priya that I can cut and paste out. But if I could get just a list of the Minnesota counties put on there, is that possible?
Well, Mike might want to address that.
Yeah, there is a list on the MACO website of counties in Minnesota. And I did find out this past week that, no, it is not fully updated. And there are some that we will get added on. And I did have a conversation with Chris Basilici here as recently as this morning about wanting to see what we can do to get those listed, updated. Now, there are also some that are on there, such as Hennepin, that have taken a moratorium in doing electronic recording right now because of the rollout of our new system, but we'll be reactivating again later on, hopefully yet this fall. And that, you know, we may need to find a way to identify those as well on that site. But I think I can send you a list that I think between Diane and I, we got to Jason here this week of the counties that have applied for electronic recording and are either doing it or in the state of doing it or on a sabbatical. Okay. And at least you'd know who's in that category right now.
That'd be helpful. I think the other thing we should probably add to that is to get maybe even a questionnaire out to each one of those counties, because the doc types vary fairly significantly. So we should have that as well, because people think, oh, I can get on, and then realize, oh, I can do mortgages, but I can't do mods, or I can do this, or I can't do that. So it would be helpful if we can get that out and have that full list of doc types that counties will accept. That's going to be an ongoing thing.
Yes.
That they're adding on, and I know Ryan and Martin were adding doc types continually, so...
That's a great point, because that is hand in hand. The questions that I get in the presentations as well, you know, do they take everything? And then, you know, it's impossible to within an hour represent and go through each county and say which counties take which documents, and you'd spend all your time.
You know, that's got to be a submitter's nightmare.
Right.
I mean, that honestly a ridiculous.
It's
submitter's
a
nightmare.
It's a
and,
challenge.
And,
it is.
I mean, talk about confusion. And we've only got 87 counties, and how many of them are you recording? And it's that much variation. That's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous to have.
I think the commission should look at how we can address that, because I thought when we passed the 11 document types that every county could now accept documents under those 11 document types. Well, not till I went to test with Alan did I realize that Fiddler had not upgraded me to accept the 11 document types.
They hadn't with me either, Janine.
Right.
That was another thing.
And so we need to talk to the... We need to talk to the vendors.
Well, each county needs to request that of their vendor, and that's not being done.
That's why I said it's an educational thing. That either, but if we could get some something behind from the commission, that the commission says all counties who e-record will accept documents under these 11 document types in the state of Minnesota, then that might be helpful.
It would be very helpful.
You know, helpful, yeah. I mean,
we'll make a motion. We'll
because, and I realize you can't do anything today, but I do I do believe that, that if it came down from the commission, that if you are going to agree to e-record, you are not going to e-record only assignments and satisfactions now. You are going to e-record any document that falls under those 11 types, which, you know, as any document there is, you can put in under those 11 types.
Can we put that on the agenda for the next meeting to...
I think we ought to talk about that. I
have some discussion on that because it, we really need to have some standardization. I mean, it's kind of like what Jason's saying, even with the CRV and the, you know, PDF and the ECRV and this confusion, and now we're complicating it one more step. It's got to be just a hodgepodge of
I must admit, I didn't even think that this was an issue. I guess I assumed once you choose to electronically record, you are willing to record any of the document types that have been identified by the commission, of which we've got about 63 right now, and we've got some more on the burner coming, as Model 2. Now, if you're only doing Model 3, which some of the counties were, yes, then there's only three doc types that are still approved for that, and that's a whole separate issue.
Right.
But as we move to the Model 2, I guess I was always thinking that when you decide you're going to record electronically whatever county you are, that you're now accepting you're going to record all, you can't just decide you're only going to record certain documents in the paper world.
But I don't think counties realize that. I don't see the edict coming down from the ERARC saying
that's what
this
I say.
Is it.
And I made an assumption, and you should never do that. I always learn.
I did too.
And I never even thought about that, to be very honest. But
I think
it's well worth a discussion because, obviously, from what I'm hearing here, that's clearly not something, A, that our members have even thought or understood. Even vendors are probably not fully understanding the importance or the significance, and maybe there's some cost implications here for counties if they've got to add more doc types that, you know, it becomes an issue for on the receiving end. I don't know. But I do think it's well worth our time to spend some time on it.
Mike, this is Chris. I thought that we had sent out to MCRA on a listserv, if I remember correctly, regarding the acceptance of the 11 doc types. So I remember something going out to all of MCRA.
It's accepting. It was out there, but it
but I don't think we ever talked, Chris, about the fact that, and again, you know, did I ever think about it? I never did, consciously, but... Do you have to now accept all of those doc types? You can't reject because I don't want to have to accept deeds, or I don't want to have to accept deeds we could reject. That was a separate category because that was the CRV. But
right.
For all of the others, all of the affidavits and some of those sorts of things, the powers of attorney, you don't. I just assumed you didn't have the choice. You had, if you were going to do Model 2 recording, you were going to do all of those that had been approved by the commission.
That's what I thought too. I didn't think that there was an issue with that. So I'm surprised to hear this, I guess.
But that's what I think we need to spend some time talking about, because obviously not everybody is implementing it that way and didn't understand it that way. And again, you know, we probably didn't communicate it well enough then in terms of. That, but I think it's well worthwhile spending some time on.
But I think we're going to continue to have this kind of issue as we add more doc types on. It is technologically going to take them some time to get up to speed. So we're
right. Saying,
here's the approved doc types. Are you accepting all of these, or the first group that we approved, or second group, or you know what I mean? As we grow with this, it's going to be a continual maintenance.
And we need to talk about, you know, do we provide for that transition time, or maybe until you get your system upgraded, you can't accept the next version of documents that have been put out there. And
but then we stay in the same mode we are now, where some are accepting this and some are accepting this. I think what we need to do is talk to our vendors and have them understand that once these have been approved, that they have to get their counties that are e-recording, they need to get those counties able to accept those. And that's partly our job as recorders, partly the job of the vendors, to understand that that's going to be expected of them, that they can't leave us high and dry sitting here with only being able to accept these type of documents when the commission has approved this many.
And Janine, I agree with you, except I'd like to know from the vendor's perspective what's involved when we do that. I mean, what's the work effort that the submitter vendors have to do, and then what's the work effort that a receiving recording vendor has to do? And I don't pretend to know the answer to all those, but whatever it is, we need to be able to plan for that.
Okay. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
So, Bill, I'm going to suggest maybe next time you give some thought about that, too, because I think we'd like to certainly hear from you on that.
Sure. It's an easy answer, but that's fine. I'll be glad to talk about it.
Is it a simple answer?
Yes, it is.
It's just yes?
It's just yes. Bring on.
Well, then.
And from a Simplifile interface, it is as well. I mean, we map into the systems and we can bring on. And there's no extra cost to the county.
No.
Take one document or take... And 260 types.
And that's been my understanding with our vendor at WCI, but I've never really had this specific, you know, he knows the ones that have been approved, and we're supposedly going to be able to take all of them. But I've never asked, is that going to be a problem?
Well, and that's the thing I was thinking, too. For trusted submitters, we should probably, even regardless of what's the approved types, have those out there so they know, too, that, gee, there's some things like foreclosure documents that they don't inadvertently try to send, and they're not
right
of standard yet. So, but I'm all for it.
Okay. Diane, can you make sure that we remind me to put that on the agenda for the next month's meeting? I know you've got it down there, so you're probably better at it than I am. So, county recording. The subcommittee has met relative to the issue of, and Chris and Larry, I'm just going to kind of steal your thunder here quickly so we can get on, because we're getting close to 3:30 and I'm going to try and get people out of here. But the meeting has taken place to approve the modification of mortgage and some of the foreclosure document types. I've heard from Pam Trombo as recently as this morning that she will probably have some information available for the commission by next week that we'll be able to post on a website for those document types for people to look at and comment, that we would be able to entertain at our next meeting for formal approval. Now, Jeff, you've talked with Pam. Is that my
reading? She would have it to Diane Monday.
Okay. Now, Chris or Larry, if you're still on there, is there anything else that you have on that front?
Maybe Sally.
Well, Larry must have left, but no, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay.
Except yay to Pam.
Yep. Yep. I think that's all we had on that front for right now. Other business items? Anybody else have anything else? I think we've already covered that with the agenda item for next month that we talked about. But
are we going to, I know we didn't approve the minutes, but was there the electronic signature, number 8 on the minutes? What happened? Where did that
We're having a discussion with Bert Black on that particular item.
Okay.
To have Bert kind of help us dialogue and refresh our memories from some stuff from the past. And Sally has been good enough to make that contact with Bert, and we'll have a conversation on it. Sally? Diane?
Okay. Close
enough. I'm looking at Diane, and I'm saying Sally. So they
we know.
Anyway. But, yes. Any other item? If not, we will stand adjourned for not having convened until the third Thursday in October.
I should thank Diane. She changed her schedule, right?
Actually, the grapes weren't until next week.
Matt, grapes don't come until next week.
Sally's future child held off for us.
Stayed inside.
Well, hearing no other conversation, we'll stand adjourned, and I thank you all for coming and attending and participating. Thank you, those of you on the phone as well. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Do you follow up with